All right, so if you have your Bibles, please open up to 1 Corinthians. We're going to start reading from verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." Verse 33, "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." In chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." And so, Father in heaven, we thank you as Paul sums up and closes up this part of the passage with the application. And Father, we need to imitate you. You are our Heavenly Father. Whether or not we grew up with a dad in the house or around, we all need a healing, spiritual healing. Some of us, emotional healing and family healing. And so we look to you, Father. Can you show us the way? Help us to see your examples, especially through your Son, Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. You came to be an example, Jesus, and we're to follow you by example. You led by example. You taught by example. And now you want us to exemplify these things to one another, but we need your help. So, Father in heaven, we ask in the name of Jesus that you please would empower us by your Spirit, that we can see the examples as set forth in the Word, and especially as we see around us. Help us to copy, to mimic, to imitate these godly examples. Teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. There's a man by the name of George Swinock. He once said, I'm going to display it here. He once said, "Man is a creature that is led more by patterns than by precepts." Patterns than by precept. George was right. It's because God knows that much of Christianity is about imitating. It's about imitating. Look at verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Paul got done teaching in this chapter. We've covered it a bunch of times before, dipping into a little bit in chapter 11 as we open up today. Much of the Bible is written this way, where you've got things that are explained. Maybe something was contained in the Old Testament. It's explained in the New Testament. And then it's also applied. Chapter 11, verse 1 is the application as he closes up and summarizes what he got into in chapter 10. I kind of wish, me and many others, wish that chapter 11, verse 1 actually would have been at the end of chapter 10. Why? Because many times we come to the end of a chapter and we think, okay, that's it, turn the page. But then chapter 11, verse 1 kind of sticks out. It's odd. Why? Because as Paul's closing up chapter 10, he went over the fact that, hey, if you're going to eat something and it's going to stumble a brother or a sister from being saved or from walking with the Savior Jesus, that's not walking in love. Okay, so you got to be careful about what you eat, or even the things that you drink. That's why verse 31 in chapter 10 says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to what? The glory of God." So our purpose needs to be that we would glorify God, amen, with all that we do. Don't give offense to the Jews or the Greeks or to the church of God. That's verse 32. And notice as he's applying it to self in verse 33, just as I, this is Paul speaking of himself, "also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many." Why? What's the goal? What's the focus? That they may be saved. Now, I got convicted in my heart going through this, even as we're getting ready to do sidewalk outreach in a little bit. I'm like, the teacher in me just wants to go and run right through chapter 11 and go through. It's just really rich. Talks about God's order and sense of things. But I get convicted because I don't want to pass up the application, which is chapter 11, verse 1. And so Paul's saying to the church at Corinth, as he summarizes and ends up what we call chapter 10, saying that, hey, these things that you're doing, whether it's eating stuff or drinking, whatever you're doing, do everything for the glory of God. And what's the goal? What's the purpose of all this? You want to save people. That's what we want to do here today, God willing, right? We backed up with like 407 bags. It wasn't just to be a benevolent institution. That's not us. There's a lot of people that can go to the government. A lot of other churches, organizations might be like just a benevolent group. Just give out stuff. Well, we want to give out things in the name of Jesus, but we want to see souls saved and disciples made. Amen? So we have a different purpose. And we want people to get saved. Notice this. We want to do these things, yes, for the glory of God, verse 31, but verse 33, we want people to get saved. So we want to do things or say things or not do at times. Why? For the purpose that people would receive salvation through Jesus Christ, just like we have. Amen? We want to do that. And then he closes up. The closing is really the start of chapter 11. Notice what he says in chapter 11, verse 1. Here's the application. This is much of how Bible study is, and much of, especially in the New Testament, Old Testament passages and principles might be quoted in the New Testament. So they'll be quoted, explained, and then applied. And that's what he's doing here. Much of the New Testament is actually written that way. So we don't want to just run past the application. So what does he say in chapter 11, verse 1, after saying, hey, you do everything for the glory of God, and whether you're eating something or drinking, whatever it is, think of Christ and think of the people. Why? Because you're wanting them to get saved. Therefore, as he says here in verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So today I'm calling this message, I'm trying to keep it short because I'm mindful of the clock and we're going to do outreach too. Imitate. Much of Christianity is about imitating. So we want to imitate Christ by following examples of other Christians, especially like Paul. And this is why Paul went to this area called Corinth. Think about this. In today's culture, we have Zoom, we've got YouTube video, all these things in social media and the internet. Even with the technology we have today, I'm convinced that someone like Paul would still have physically been in Corinth. But by the way, who here thinks that? I think he would be. Why? Because more is caught than taught. You have to be there on site, just like parenting. You can't change diapers through a Zoom meeting, can you? You got to be, it's like, what? That's ridiculous. You got to be there on site. So imitating Christ by following the examples of other Christians. That's a lot of what the Bible teaches. And that's a lot of what the Christian life is to be like. We need to imitate Christ and imitate him by seeing other godly examples with other Christians. Amen? Again, more is caught than taught. The command in the New Testament is simply to follow Jesus. But what happens usually is that we follow patterns of other people. Now, how many of us know as parents, if we're not doing what we say, our kids are not going to do what we say. They're going to do what we do. Any of you guys know that? Okay. I remember talking with someone. And this, I had a friend that had this sign on their desk. You know, do what I say. Why? Because I said. And so that's not good parenting. You know, your children sometimes ask, like, why? Just because I said so. That's not good parenting. Because our kids, they're going to look at who we are and what we do, and they're not going to follow so much what we say. They watch. They don't listen sometimes. How many of you parents know that? They could be like that. And we can't point a finger at our kids. This is humanity. Jesus knew this, so he is the God who is with us, right? He had to leave heaven to be with us. I'm going to celebrate that during Christmas time, that he's the Emmanuel, which is God with us. He had to be with us. Paul knew this as he's speaking to and teaching the Christians at Corinth. He had to be with them. So God's commands to imitate, think about this, it also extends to marriage. Here's what Paul, the same guy that wrote this, he wrote another book called Ephesians. Marriage is to imitate Christ in the church. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5. This is the great marriage chapter, the best chapter in the Bible about marriage, which basically explains the entire, not just book, but the Bible. A lot of it is about marriage. This is a great mystery. Anybody believe marriage is a mystery? Yeah, it's a mystery. But what's the mystery about? Well, I speak concerning Christ and the church. If we can get that right, you will have your marriage to be more in alignment with God. That's basically it. It's about Christ and the church. If you can understand and apply this now in your marriage or even for the singles, in your single life, then your life will be better pleasing to God. Your marriage will be better pleasing to God. Everything else flows and will follow. Your family will also be a bigger blessing. So Paul seemed to understand this principle, I think, better than most of us as people today. He knew that he imitated Christ. That's why he says here, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Let me say this now from this pulpit, whether it's me saying follow me as I follow Christ or any of us. If I'm doing something that you see that's not biblical, that ain't Christ, is it? Don't follow that example. Amen? If you're seeing someone else, whether or not he or she calls themselves a Christian. Christian, literally, the term means what? Christ follower. If they claim to be a Christian, and they're, you know, I have some friends like this. I used to hang out with some. We'd go, like, do drugs and all the worldly stuff. Like, we were not being very Christian, were we? No. So if you're following someone and they're a Christian, they claim to be a follower of Christ, and they're going to do something, or they are doing something that you know is not following the Bible, they're not following Christ, are they? Don't follow that example. Okay? So we need to be, even as Paul says here, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So if I'm not following Christ in something I do or say, don't follow that example. Amen? And we need to be that. You know, what would the body of Christ be like globally, the body of Christ, if we all just applied that, right? Much of Christianity comes down to that, where we need to simply follow Christ and then be an example so that others can follow our example. Make sense? Okay, so that's what it is. So Paul knew that he imitated Christ's example. He knew life would create a pattern that the Corinthians would be able to follow. This is what he's tapping into, and that's why he knew as a missionary he had to go there. He couldn't just send him an email or a text. He couldn't just write the letter. He himself had to go there. So much of Christianity is about this. It's about imitating. People follow examples better than instructions. Remember that. Especially if you're a parent, your children will follow your example. Now, I remember my dad, he passed away. I grew up without him around, unfortunately. He grew up in Hawaii. Anybody familiar with Hawaii? There's a lot of plants that are in Hawaii, right? Very green. Guess what type of plant is also very populous in Hawaii? Pakalolo. Okay? Pot. Marijuana. So I grew up, and my dad would tell me stories of how he grew up on the islands. Pakalolo, man. Hey. So he would tell me stories of how he'd be like smoking hooch and all that stuff with his friends. And then one day I was a kid, and I was already doing stuff, you know, in the world. I wasn't even 10 years old the first time I would smoke cigarettes. And when I would get into drugs, I grew up without parents around, without parental supervision, not much. And that's not good. Now I know it's like, no, I don't want my kids let out of my sight unless I know they're going to be safe and okay. Why? Because I was one of those problem children. So one day I was sitting in a restaurant, me and my sister. You know, we would see our dad every now and then, not all the time. And we're sitting across the table from him after already him telling me about how he grew up, you know, smoking pot with his friends on the islands, because that's what they all did. He looks over at me and asks me, you know, if I have taken drugs or if I'm smoking cigarettes. I already did at that time. I probably lied to him when I was a kid. I'm not saying that you should lie. But here's what formulated in my head. I'm thinking, and I was not close with my dad growing up. I'm thinking, who are you to be telling me? Now, I grew up where he would come and pick up my sister and I, like every once in a while. And this is at a time before we understood about what's called secondhand smoke. Okay, that kind of got more popular as years went on. But both he and his wife, my stepmom, would drive in their car. It was a four-door car, so it was at least enough space. I'd be huddled in the back in one corner. My sister would be huddled in the back in the other corner. And they would let down the window just like a little like that. While him and his wife would be smoking a cigarette inside the car. And I'd be like, you know, trying to cover up, trying to breathe. You ever do that? Like try to breathe through your t-shirt? So I grew up with that as an example of my dad smoking, him and his wife. And they didn't care. I mean, at that time, this was the 1970s. There was no, you wouldn't talk about secondhand smoke. Yeah, there was not that U.S. Surgeon General. It's like, you had all these ads of, hey, be cool. So I grew up with that around. And when I was a kid, guess what I did? I followed the example that I saw. So parents, be careful about what you market. I study marketing. Okay, be careful about what you market, what you show your kids, because people follow examples better than instructions. Amen? I grew up as a kid. As I shared with you guys many times before, as a kid without parental supervision, without adults around, after school, me and my friends would hang out in the streets. We'd walk around, hey, what's that? I don't know, can we smoke it? We would like look at dumb stuff all the time and like, here's some firecrackers. Hey, there's some fresh dog mess. Let's, you know, stick it. Let's run. Boom! And we would do dumb stuff. What I'm getting at is we ended up following the examples that adults set before us. Now, I could look at it now and go, I'm still guilty of sin. However, I don't want to be one of those parents that's sitting there smoking a cigarette or, you know, doing drugs in front of my kids and saying, you better not be doing this. Do as I say, don't do as I do. You know that doesn't work, does it? So people follow examples better than instructions. God, who created you and I, understands this. This is why this, as a principle, is found cover to cover throughout the Bible. And this is one reason why I'm getting greatly convicted, or have been, that we would actually touch upon this here. So as Paul is finishing up chapter 10, he's basically saying, hey, look, I want souls to be saved. And for the sake of salvation, I want to be an example. Therefore, chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me, follow me, copy my example as I copy Christ. This is what a lot of Christianity is about. You don't have to go to the bookstore and get these books about what to do, etc. Unless it's the Bible. But the Bible will just basically tell you, confess your sin, repent, follow Christ, help others to follow Christ himself as well. But along the way, why is it that we need to gather at a house and home? The ekklesia, the church. That's the Greek word, ekklesia. Ek means out of, gathered out, called out of house and home to publicly gather. One of the reasons is the reading of God's word, prayer. But another one is we need to see other examples. Make sense? And without that, we're not going to be able to know how to follow or who to follow. When everybody on Facebook and all these social media, TikTok, follow me. Jesus is like, I'm still waiting. Will you follow me? And that's a problem, isn't it? I study marketing and I've studied even what social media is doing. And it's become a father in a way. It's becoming a false parent. And many of us get sucked into that. All right, so back to this. Much of Christianity is about imitating. Again, why? Because people follow examples better than instructions. As I mentioned, I want to ask for some volunteers. I want to show you an illustration. Hopefully this works. 5 volunteers. Who wants to come forward? No, that's nomination. That's not volunteering. Hector's like, huh? So if anybody wants to volunteer, come up. Who wants? I need 5 of you. Just come on up. All right, Brandon. Who else? Come on, you guys. Don't be shy. Oh, look, the nomination worked. Okay, 2 more. Who else? Luce, you're coming up? Okay, 1 more. 1 more volunteer. Anybody? Who else? All right, come on up. Great. All right, by the way, tell us your names. Luis? Hector?
Brandon?
Steve? Luce. All right, let me spread out here. So we need one of you to be the original. Who wants to be the original? The others are going to copy. We've got a lawyer here. Okay, you're going to be the original. We need you. Sorry. Okay, two of you stand on this side. Okay, you're going to stand here in the middle. All right, and then you two on this side. Now, I'm going to position you guys in a certain way. Okay? You are to look at the original. And Luce, come here. You're not allowed to look at him. Turn around this way, and you look at him. So you're going to be person one, the original. He's person two. You're person three. Turn this way. Okay? So you can only see Brandon. Mr. Brandon, person number two, okay? And then you, Hector, you're person four, okay? This is to illustrate that we need to see examples. And then turn this way, Lewis. Lewis, right? Yes. All right. So, person four, which is Hector, person five, which is Lewis, you're just for the sake of this illustration, I don't want you to turn around and see the original, so to speak, okay? And then Mr. Steve, yes, so I'm going to give a verbal instruction, and Steve is the original. Don't look back. I'm going to show you what I want you to do. So Steve is person one, Brandon is person two, Luce is person three, Hector is person four, Lewis is person five. Here's what I'm going to want you to do. Okay, and I'll mention. Make sense? Okay. So, I'm going to give a verbal instruction. And the verbal instruction that everybody can hear is to raise your hands. To raise your hands. So, ready? So, the original is going to raise his hands. And you, number four, number five, you can't see. Okay. And then person two, which is Mr. Brandon, he's going to imitate. So you guys raise your hands. And then person three, who's looking at the... Okay, and person four and person five, you can't look. So raise your hands. You guys see the illustration? You got to guess at it. So the original is Stephen here in the center. The verbal command or the instruction is to raise your hands. Raise your hands. So how about persons four and five? Might be a little awkward though, right? You could raise your hands or not. You got to kind of guess at it though, right? Oh, this is better than I thought. This is good. Okay. All right, so staying as you are. Someone take a picture of this, would you? I want to see this. You did? Okay, there you go. The wife took a picture. Great. So I'm going to ask the crowd. Let me ask the crowd, the audience. You're going to be the judges. So is number two, Mr. Brandon, is he a good imitation of the original? Yes. He's like, give me a break, y'all. Okay, let's say for the sake of the illustration, let's say yes. Yeah? Okay, so number two, Mr. Brandon, is a good imitation of the original. Oh, she's giving the devil horns. Rock on. Okay. So is number three, is Luce... How about number three? Is number three a good imitation of the original? Good enough? Okay. How about number four? Is number four a good imitation of the original? How about number five? No, okay, don't take it personal. All right, so audience, why is number two or number three a good imitation of the original? Okay, good. Keeping his eyes set. I like how you guys' illustration because he's following the original, keeping his eyes set on the original. So why is number four, person number four and person number five, a good imitation, good imitation of the original or not? No. Why? Can't see. Okay, so you guys are helping to illustrate. We follow examples we can see. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. Give them a hand, guys. Thank you. That was more fun and funny than I thought it would be. That's good. So again, you guys illustrated. Thanks again, guys. We follow examples that we can see. So they just provided a fun and like somewhat funny illustration. By the way, Hector or Nora, who was the original? Where's Steve? Oh, Steve. Show number four, number five, Hector and Lewis. Show them what you were doing.
It was a peace sign and a thumbs up.
Okay. So, and in other words, again, if somebody just gives you a verbal instruction, raise your hands, we're kind of guessing, like, what is that? Now, that's not an exact picture of the Bible and, you know, illustrating it, but it helps to illustrate the fact that we'll follow what we see. Make sense? We follow examples. And if I could see an example in front of me, like we saw with number two with Brandon, thank you guys for playing, he's able to just copy it in his own way. So was number three who didn't see. Luce, good job. Number three didn't see the original. But that helps to illustrate, like Paul's saying, hey, I'm imitating Christ, imitate me. So it's as if Stephen was as if he's Christ, so to speak, the original. And then number two was like Paul in Corinth. And number three, Luce, was like the Christians at Corinth. Oh, I can't see Christ, so I need to follow an example that I do see of someone else that's following Christ. And that's what church leadership and we as Christians need to be about in the church. Amen? All right, let's continue on. So again, thank you guys. So Timothy was placed in an area called Ephesus. So Paul writes to him in what we call 1 Timothy chapter 4. He was picked in place and put in an area called Ephesus. He was in Ephesus to what? To be an example for them to follow. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love in spirit and faith in purity. So again, people follow examples better than instructions. And Paul is telling Timothy, above and beyond just, hey, get over it. Don't allow them to look down or put you down because you're youth, but be an example. So Paul knew that for Timothy to be there in that church at Ephesus, people will see that example and they'll mimic, they'll follow that example. Okay, and this is how we're to be in all churches around the globe. Make sense, guys? Amen? Okay, so Timothy was in Ephesus to be an example in word, the things that he would say, his conduct, that's his behavior, his manner of life. So whatever Timothy's lifestyles were, you would bet, you would guess that the Christians at Ephesus would just copy that example, right? And his love. So the Christians at Ephesus would imitate the love that they saw, not just with Paul, but also with Timothy. In spirit, how Timothy's spirit was. I'd imagine him being a more gentle kind of person. And they would mimic or follow that example. They would imitate and become that as well. His faith. So when they got to see and publicly be allowed to see Timothy exemplify his faith, they're like, you know, when I'm stuck in a pickle, I need to pray to God like I see with Timothy, and he's still going to go through stuff. In fact, how many of us know Christians go through more stuff than before you were following Christ? That scares off a lot of people, but that's the reality. That's God's growth plan for us. So they saw Timothy, they saw his faith, and Paul's saying, Timothy, be an example in your faith. They need to see faith right in front of them. Not just go home and read your book. That don't work. But let me read God's word with you. God willing, help me, Lord, to be an example. And then you and I, we're going to follow that example. Whether it's a good or bad example, those are the principles of discipleship. And we as parents, we need to know that. Okay? So sometimes you ever see your kids do something or say something, you're like, maybe they're standing a certain way. And they go to school or others see them, and then they look at you as a parent and they go, I know where they got that from, right? And you try to train those things out of your kid or kids, and you're like, man, It's a good mirror, right? Amen? Parenting. Christian parenting. A great peek into your own heart. Okay, allow that to happen. Purity. So Timothy's life was a life of personal purity. He's not sitting there preaching the word of God and then going living a trashy life. He had to live a life of personal purity. And that's what we needed to see. That's what we need in this church and globally what we need to see as well. So people follow examples better than instructions. This is also why the same guy, Timothy, was sent to this same church. We already went through this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Timothy was sent to Corinth to be an example. It says in chapter 4, verse 15, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you," what does he say? "Imitate me." The Greek word for imitate, mametes. Mametes. Think of it in English, what does that sound like? Mimic. It's literally the word mimic. Mametes me. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. Now, there's a lot of people, you come out of the world, and it's like, oh, I want to be myself. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to be no sheep. Well, then you're not a born-again Christian. Okay? Because Christianity, we follow Christ. There's going to be a lot of people in hell that's like, I did it my way, right? That's reality. That keeps people out of heaven. Or even someone that claims Christ to be their Savior, a lot of people won't follow him as Lord. In reality, he's probably not Lord nor Savior. It's fake. It's a stillborn. They're not birthed anew. That is so true. So we need to be followers of Christ, not just pray a prayer so I can get my fire insurance so when I die, I don't have to burn in hell and I don't have to go in the lake of fire at the end of time in Judgment Day. We need to follow Christ. That was the call right from the beginning in the Gospels when you read how Jesus called his disciples. He said two pesky little words. What did he tell them? Follow me. Thank you. Okay, so he says, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you. So he wanted Timothy to be a follower. Can I get a water? One of you guys? Thanks. So following Jesus. And this is what every church, thank you, is to exemplify. I'm not going to go through this whole list here. Did Paul only say this to the church at Ephesus? Did he only say this to the church at Corinth? No. In the book of Philippians, join in following my example. You have us for a pattern. Also 1 Thessalonians. Also in the book called 2 Thessalonians. That's the church at Thessalonica. Also in the book of Hebrews. Imitate others. Also again, the book of Ephesians. Be imitators of God as dear children. He's our Heavenly Father. We need to imitate him. Why? Because others will follow the example. They're not going to follow the instruction. For the parents, please learn that. Because your kids, like how I figured out late, sadly, later on I had to repent for much. Your kids are going to follow who you are and what you do, not what you say. Like my dad tried, don't take drugs. I did. I went overboard. Don't smoke. I did. I went overboard. Why? Because I saw that example, and then when I was in the DJ party life, I was just involved in that really fully and promoting that filth. I thought that was okay because I grew up with that. Although I'd be hiding in the corner in my dad's car, covering my mouth so I could breathe. He provided an example. He just didn't know. Okay. So now, for my eyes being open, being a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, I know, God willing, and I'm not saying you got to be perfect because none of us are perfect. We need a perfect Savior, amen? But you provide an example that others will follow. These principles of discipleship, people are either going to follow you for positive reasons or for negative reasons. Understand that. So as we wind down the close, Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission. Again, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. This, you know what this is, guys? This is the Great Commission. If you look at the context of the text, this is what Bible study needs to be able to do. This is the reason why we want to go through and part the pages of Scripture and study entire books. So you get the context of the text. You don't just cherry pick a verse out of its context. Amen? So when Jesus said in Matthew 28 and gave what we call the Great Commission, this is what the church's mission is to be. Mission and vision statement. It's here. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the context of the Great Commission is that Jesus spent 3 years. Remember, he's the Emmanuel, God with us. He spent 3 years with his disciples. And they did the Jesus tour, so to speak. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, pretty much always with Jesus. And what did he do? He discipled them. He confronted them a lot, said a lot of harsh words. He needed to correct and direct. So he spent about 3 years with his disciples. He became the original, just like we saw. Thank you again, Steve, for playing. He became the original to imitate. Then Jesus does what within the context? Matthew Levi being one of them who quotes him at the end of his book, 28-chapter book. Quotes more, like 50-something times quoting from the Old Testament. He quotes it and he says, this is how Jesus, being king, being Messiah, has fulfilled it. And at the end of his book that we call the Gospel According to Matthew, the King of the Gospels, put first in the New Testament, he gives you the biggest command at the end. What is it? It's what we call the Great Commission of the Church. All authority has been given to me, is what Jesus says. So Jesus is saying, I now authorize you. He's commanding you. Now, and what's the context? He's speaking to Matthew Levi, someone who already was a disciple. This is why if we've never been discipled and we try to apply this, it really doesn't make sense. And it's really not going to have the anointing or the power of God. You got to first be a disciple, follower of Christ, helping one another to follow as well. And then what? Go, therefore, and make disciples. So he's authorizing, he's commanding, he's commissioning his disciples, like Matthew Levi, who quoted this, to make disciples. And like we say as parents, just like our babies, we can make babies, but you have to raise them, right? You have to change diapers. How many diapers a day? 16. Who said 16? Oh my gosh. For us, it was an average of like 7 or so, right? A lot, yes. So Jesus made disciples. How did he do that? By example. He provided the original for others to copy. And at the end of 3 years, you know what this means? For you to disciple someone else, you may have to spend more than 3 years. And a lot of people don't want to sign up for that. It's like in the world, there's a lot of guys that want to make babies, and then what? They bounce. Same thing in Christianity. There's a lot of people that want to do evangelism. It's like, nah, go to church. But you told me that it's not about a religion, it's about a... So we all know that, right? In our evangelism. No, it's not religion, it's a relationship. Then you help someone get saved and they're following, like, tell me about this relationship. You're like, leave me alone, get off my back, go to church, read your Bible, go home and pray. Does that work? No. You have to walk with them. You have to help them. You have to answer a bazillion questions. That might happen, just like when you have kids. Okay, so we need to be an example, God willing. Amen? All right, let's all stand, please. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. We need to close up here. And as we want to be able to, God willing, be an example, we want to win souls, even how Paul is mentioning here to the church at Corinth, we want to do that here in our sidewalk outreach. But let's remember that we need to also be an example to one another here and to the world, that they're going to follow our examples, good or bad. So let's make sure that we can, like Paul's saying to Timothy, walk with this sense of personal purity. If you've got sins to confess to God, confess them. Walk away, turn away from them, repent from them. As we say, leave it at the foot of the cross. Jesus died for those sins. And then what? Just turn to follow Jesus. And let's be, God willing, a good example for one another. So we can be like Paul and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. So, Father, we ask for your empowerment from heaven above. Lord, we ask that you please would help us simply to follow you, whether it's choice of food like we studied about in chapter 10 here, or just the things that we read about you, Jesus, and your disciples, your followers, the apostles in the New Testament. Help us to apply these things. Help us, God, especially, Father, we pray to you in the name of Jesus. Can you please anoint us by your Spirit that we can be an example, that we can glorify you. Use us today, even, Lord, in the sidewalk outreach. Father, prepare our hearts. Prepare the hearts of the hundreds and hundreds of people we're going to see and pass right past our building today that we could reach out to. Soften their hearts. Use us. Help us to be loving to them. Help us to be an example of your love, reaching out to this lost, dead, and dying world. For your glory and yours alone, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.